and how important it is to have 20/20 vision in our life to be able to fulfill the call of God upon our life. Each and every person here has a call upon a God upon their life, and we need to figure out what that is. You know, have you ever been, now this is me, I gawk around when I drive a little bit too much. I always see the hawks and the deers and all that stuff on the sides of the road more than I see the road sometimes. But have you ever been driving and you started looking off to your right, and then maybe you just noticed you started drifting that way, you know, and then you hear that, you know, on the side of the road. I hate those things. It just rats me out every time. You know, I just assume they weren't there. But anyway, I found that we're usually drawn to what we're looking at and how important it is to pay attention to what we're looking at. Now, week one, we looked at fresh eyes, and that was the start of the series, and it about needing a fresh revelation from God in 2020. You know, revelation from God. A lot of times, just reading the Bible is good. We get information, but I believe also God wants to impart revelation to us, and that's something that's very special, that God will speak inside of us, and then we need to hold on to that. Week two, we looked at the lens of faith and how we need to walk by faith and not by sight. We live in a world that is broken, that tries to undermine our faith, make us to not get out of the boat. You know, but Jesus said, come, so we need to get out of the boat and follow him. And this week, we're going to look at, you know, the concept of what are we looking at in life? And it's going to deal with purpose, persistence, and the prize. So let's look to Hebrews chapter 12. And it's verses 1 to 3. Very familiar scripture. I've ministered along these lines a time or two before. It's going to be from a little different angle. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God that is life-changing. Lord, we thank you for the anointing that is on the word of God, to be able to pierce and penetrate our hearts, Lord, to be able to not let us be conformed to the world, but to be transformed. And Lord, we thank you for that transformation process that's taking place. Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, Lord, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've kind of jumped into the series a little bit and kind of covered some ideas on how we can better be focused in life. And the first point I want to look at today is we need to look to Jesus for purpose. You know, there needs to be a reason for being. You know, it's more than just, you know, going through life and working a job and raising some kids and then dying. You know, God has put us here for a reason. You know, I like what Esther said, or in the book of Esther, it was said that you don't know, but you were born for such a time as this. See, you're born at this generation because God has a plan for your life. That's why you're born at this time. God has a perfect plan for each of our lives. There's something that we each need to do, and it revolves around the closeness of our relationship with Him and being able to step out from the crowd and just follow Jesus with all our heart. And sometimes that gets a little scary, and we're going to go into that towards the end of the message. So, you know, a lot of times we just don't know what to do. But 2020 vision needs a reason if we're going to reach our full potential. The sad thing is many people never reached a potential on what it is that God's called them to do. See, a good vision, if we have that, it will pull us and not drive us. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be driven, but I like to be pulled. You know, sheep are led, cattle are driven. And we need to get to the place in our life, you know, where that vision, that direction, whatever God has placed before us, we're stretching out and we're wanting to reach that. You know, you can force people to do things, but they're not going to enjoy it, right? And see, God doesn't want to force us to reach our full potential. God wants to set that out there in front of us, and then he wants us to walk towards that and head towards that potential that he's put in us in, and let it be developed. You know, the reason why, you know, life seems like it's passing by is because we're not engaged in a purposeful passion. We're not engaged in anything in our life. You know, we need to step back and step out and, you know, just kind of get some direction from God, because that's where it's at. I mean, I know in my life, you know, I've been saved a long time now. I've been saved, you know, way a lot longer than I, you know, was unsaved. You know, and I've learned a few things along the way. You know, I do know what it was like to not have a vision, not have a passion, you know, in my life. But then little by little, as I grew in Christ and I started to seek after Him with my whole heart, He started to reveal to me some things. And He started to speak inside of me. And He started to reveal some things that He wanted me to do. And you know what I found out? I was totally fulfilled when I followed God's plan. But when I walked my way, oh yeah, I was happy. I had all the things I thought I wanted. But there was always something missing. And I hated living my life feeling there was something missing all the time. And I knew it was out there, but I didn't know how to get it. And see, that's why Jesus Christ came. And that's why Jesus Christ wants to live inside of us. He wants to bring us to the place in our life where we can fulfill everything He's called us to do. We just need to keep our eye on the prize. See, God, I believe He's placed inside of each and every one of us a seed. And that seed is, what are you going to do with your seed? You know, there's a lot of parables in the Bible and different things about seed. Some hide their seed, don't want to use it. But, you know, I believe the best thing we can do with seed is invest that seed. Because that's how that seed is going to grow and start to produce in our life. And inside of you, God has placed that seed of potential. Something inside of you that only you are called to do. And it's that special and unique to you. Your special calling and why you're here on this planet. And you take that seed and then you got to plant it. You got to put it out there in good dirt. You know, you got to put that seed in good dirt. And what's the best dirt there is? Your heart that's been reborn. Your heart must be born again. And you need to be able to guard your heart. We need to prepare our heart. You know, we do that through prayer, and we do it through worship, and we do it through, you know, getting the Word of God in our life. It means we, you know, without going into this too far today, but it means we got to step out of a system of the world and step into the system of God. And there are only two systems on the planet. The system of the world is the world, and everybody's going there. It's like a bunch of lemmings going over a cliff, you know what I'm saying? They all just follow each other because everybody else is doing it. But see, the people of God step into a different system. It's a system where we walk by faith and not by sight. It's a system where we believe that, you know, a God that we can't see lives inside of us, and that He's called us to do certain things and accomplish certain things for His glory and not our own. So it's a different system that we have to get into the way of doing things. And as we do that, we start to grow in Him and we start to see things revealed. You know, that's why we need to water our seed after we get it in good dirt. And that's what I was saying about the prayer. You know, purposeful prayer brings eternal results. You know, we're looking for eternity. You know, we're going to live for eternity somewhere. And the eternal things that we do here on this earth, because we step into that eternity right when we accept Jesus Christ, so we step into that and we start to do it. Now, here's kind of the responsibility that we have. You know, a lot of times we pray for God to do something that we're supposed to do. Have you ever done that? You know, I have. God, why don't you do this? God, why don't you do that? But then I found out God told me to address that situation. That's what He gave me the Word of God for. You know, we need to make sure that the weeds don't come in and choke out our seed. See, the clutter of life can cause us to look at the wrong things. And see, that's our responsibility, isn't it? Oh, God, take the clutter away. Man, the whole world would be wiped out, wouldn't it? No. When I stopped, you know, being involved in the things that I was involved with, that was sin, when I started to come to Christ, that stuff didn't cease to exist. I died to it. You know, they didn't stop making Budweiser when I got saved. You know what I mean? As far as I know, there's going to be some commercials today on the Super Bowl. Big money. And I'm not condemning that, but I'm just saying for me, that was something I need to get away from. And they didn't stop making it. I couldn't believe it. You know? God, why don't they quit making that? No, I had to die to that. that had no more power over me. What you die to has no more power over you. You need to write that down. Think about that a little bit. What you die to has no power over you anymore. And then you start to walk in victory. But see, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, or we're going to be like a moth that's drawn to the glimmering lights of this world. How many knows what happened to the poor little moth that went towards the light? You know, them lights all look shiny. I was in Vegas once with somebody, and they wanted to go out there, and I just rode along, and, you know, man, there's lights everywhere out there. I don't know what their electric bill is, but I bet it'd be phenomenal. And those lights all look so pretty. You know what I mean? Just pretty. I'll get out. But I'll tell you what, I have watched a few moths in my day, and I don't know why they do it. Evidently, they haven't got the memo. They must pass information back to each other. But they head towards that light, and they hit the light, and it's so hot, and they die. And see, we need to not be like that. We don't need to chase after the things. You know, what happens is, you know, it's kind of like Mary and Martha. You know, remember the story in the Bible when Jesus came to minister at their house? And I don't know about you, but if Jesus came to my house like that, I'd pretty well drop what I was doing. You know, I want to pay attention, you know? I want to hear what the Master says. But see, Mary and Martha's personalities were different. Mary wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. Martha wanted to make sure everything was just perfect. She's around just running herself ragged, you know, trying to make sure everything was just right for Jesus. And that's a good intention, isn't it? Only good until you miss out on the Word. You miss out on the Master. Because you're so worried about making sure everything is just right, and you miss out. What I found out in my life is the pursuit of perfection can rob you of greatness. The pursuit of perfection robs us of greatness. We try to make everything perfect all the time, and then we never really, you know, get to the place that we get things done. See, focusing too much on insignificant details will cause us not to see the big picture. And we need to be big picture people, don't we? We need to be able to see the big picture and see the lay of the land and see where it is that God is drawing us to and making us get there. See, the old saying, we can't see the forest for the trees, that's very true. When we worry about getting everything right, we'll probably get everything wrong. And, you know, in construction, you know, there's some perfectionists sometimes, but, you know, if you're going to hang drywall on a wall, there ain't no sense in making your stuff really level behind the wall, is there? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's all good and dandy if you want to drill all your holes just the right exact height all the time and spend hours getting the tape measure out and drilling every hole. You know, takes you about 4 or 5 hours longer to do that job, and then some crazy drywaller comes along and just covers all your good work up. That's crazy, ain't it? Now, some of you may not know what I'm talking about. Hopefully you do. But if you look behind that wall, there's wires, there's pipes. Don't even see them no more, do you? Why waste the time on something that doesn't matter? We need to learn that as a Christian because life is short. We need to learn what's really important, what it is that we need to be doing to make sure that we do it all right for the glory of God. Second point I want to look at is the idea of looking to Jesus for persistence. Looking to Jesus for persistence. Remember, we looked to Him for purpose. Now we're looking for persistence. You know, I found out in the Christian life sometimes that things don't usually go as fast as we want them to be. You know, there's always that time frame between amen and the time that you see it. You know what I'm saying? So things don't go as fast all the time. And what happens is that maybe we start out on something that's really exciting and, you know, I don't know, how many love to start a new project? Oh, you got something new going, you know what I'm saying? Oh man, I'm excited. I'm just, you know, getting all my stuff kind of organized here and, you know, getting ready to get this project going and, oh man, this is going to be so fabulous, going to be done in no time, just great. And you start off and you're so excited and you get into that thing, then all of a sudden, after a few weeks, you hit that one thing, the monotonous middle, where you're out in between the starting line and the finish line. You're out in the middle and you can't see the finish line no more. And you look back and you can't see the starting line no more. And you're out there all alone. And you don't feel like you can keep going on. Did I miss God? Is people against me? You know, why isn't this going as fast as I want it to? Usually at that time in your walk, it usually that dream that you had where you felt God spoke to you, that thing turns into a job, man. It's work. And you're just doing what you know you need to do. See, at that time in our walk that we need to just keep on keeping on, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, just keep walking. Don't turn back. Don't start doubting yourself. Don't start doubting God, but just keep going. Because that finish line is ahead, but you just can't see it yet. God can see it, but you can't see it yet. And that's why we need to see that thing through to the end, meaning we don't want to be a quitter. You know, I found that giving up is easy until you look in the mirror. I hate that. When you look in the mirror and, you know, to me it's hard when I let other people down, but it's harder on me when I let myself down. Because I know my potential. I know what God has put inside of me, just like you know what you can do. And when you live short of your potential, that is one of the most frustrating things there is. You know, the old shoulda, woulda, coulda comes in. You know what I'm saying? You know, I should have done that. I would have done that. I could have done that, but I didn't do nothing. I didn't follow through. You know, I remember when we were starting to build this building, it never went as fast as I thought. You know, this is a good-sized building, and, you know, we ended up doing it in phases, and just sheer exhaustion and stress and everything that was going on with that, building a church, all because I let it happen to me. I don't know if other people felt it, but I did. And so that vision turned into a job, but praise God, we saw it through to the end. You know, every time I looked in the mirror and I felt like not going on, I said, I can't quit. I can't stop. You know, I'm not a failure. And if I failed, I get up again. I just ask God to keep giving me strength. And see, then we got to the finish line. And I praise God for that. See, persistence is what we need. Persistence means a firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Now, that is something that we need. Because difficulty and opposition, and you can take this into all areas of your life. Into your relationships, into your job. You know, I was just talking to somebody the other day, and, you know, I don't know how many jobs they've had. Just quit, 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 quit. And they would take them back, I said, because they're only working just a few hours at the job they're at now, and they don't have enough money to survive. And I said, well, what about this job? They said they'd take you back. Yeah. What about that job? They said they'd take you back. Yeah. You know. But they just quit. And they don't want to go on. They don't want to make it right. And see, that is something that we need to get beyond, because there's going to be hard times in everything. People have struggles in their marriage. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, me and my wife don't see eye to eye all the time, and we're the same height. You know what I mean? You know, there might be an inch difference. I don't know. But, I mean, we don't see eye to eye. And so there's opportunity to grow. Amen? And, you know, that difficulty, what it does, it helps us to be better. You know, we can look to Jesus for our inspiration. You know, a lot of times when we look at that scripture where it says that he, could see the, in verse 2 it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. See, he saw the cross through to the end. And he had to go through the cross to get the glory. And that's some of the things, you know, that we need to see. So when you go through bad times, you know, we may not see our blessing till we get to the end of where we're going. But we need to cross that finish line, which brings me to my last point, the prize. God really doesn't ask us to do anything without the prize at the end. There's always the blessing on the other side, whether it be a crown, where it talks about that we get when we, you know, make it to glory, or whatever the case may be. But there's always that blessing. So we need to look to Jesus for our prize as the last point. See, Jesus endured everything for the prize. Now, little disclaimer, we're part of that prize. That's why Jesus did it. Because of his love that he has for you and I. And when he chose to leave heaven and come down and fulfill the mission, there were two major obstacles that stood right in front of him. Number one was the cross, and number two was the shame. It says that he despised the shame. That's always bothered me. How that word despised was put in this passage, because it's such an uplifting passage. I mean, man, fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep running the race. Yeah. But he despised the shame. I don't think anybody here probably likes shame. At least we shouldn't. See, first was the cross, and at that point, all the sins of mankind were laid upon him, and he carried them for us. Now, I don't think anybody here can really fathom that, what that meant, to have all the sins of mankind laid upon him, where he bore them on the cross. The reason why you can't grasp it is because I do know this, that right before that, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was trying to pray through for breakthrough, he was sweating drops of blood. And that is a medical thing that can happen when you're under so much stress. And it was a stressing situation for him. But he went on anyway. He went to the cross. He was beaten so badly that even part way he had to have a little help, you know, getting to the finish line. How many know you need help sometimes getting to the finish line? Amen? All of us do. Praise God. So I think it was Rufus. They called him out and he started carrying the cross with him to help him get there. But the second obstacle is something I want to kind of spend a little more time on here, is the idea of shame. You know, the Bible says he despised it. And what happened with the shame is that it was the stripping away of every form of earthly support. Every form of earthly support had been stripped away from him. I mean, he'd been persecuted a little bit before that in his ministry, not too bad. But usually when Jesus came to town, there was a parade. Glory to God, you know. His disciples, I mean, he was training them, and they didn't quite understand everything all the time. But when Jesus showed up, several things happened. Demons were cast out. Bodies were healed. And people were called into the ministry when he showed up. And all of them said, I pledge my allegiance to you. I will follow you. I will do anything for you. Well, then came the cross, and then came the shame, and they abandoned him. They left him alone. To be able to go through this part, this phase on his own. His friends and followers left him. His reputation was shamed by mockery. The whole town was looking at him. He had been stripped down, not totally naked, but his nakedness was revealed, so his dignity was gone, just taken away from him. All the crowd and the people were cheering while they beat him and mocked him as he finished his part of that race that day. He was tortured like a common criminal. While he had done no wrong, he was innocent. So the word despising, what it means is to think lightly in comparison to something else. So when Jesus despised the shame, he just thought that shame was insignificant compared to what he was going to get. And I think if we rearranged our thinking about when we go through some things in our life, when we go through some maybe minor persecution or the problems, you know, that happen, you know, to each of us, you know, as we go through some uncomfortable things in life, right? We all have to go through some uncomfortable things. But yet, if we can see that those things are insignificant compared to the next step, I think that'll help us get to there. I know it helps me. I try to look at the big picture. When I'm under a lot of pressure and a lot of stress, you know, I do know a couple things. I've learned things, you know, as I pay attention. is, number one, never make a big decision when you're under stress, because you'll usually make the wrong one. Wait. Pray through for breakthrough. Get to the place in your life. I mean, a lot of people, leave their marriages or quit their jobs or do all kinds of things that if they would have just waited a little longer, they could have made a quality decision. So that's a little freebie that doesn't go with this. But so Jesus, got through the shame by comparing the joy set before him. Number one, like I said, we are the prize. And, the idea of sitting back at the right hand of the Father. But a lot of times when we look at that scripture, we look at it and say, Jesus, looked, past the cross to see, the blessing that was coming. But really, what the scripture's actually saying, I'm going to read that in the way that it's supposed to be interpreted a little bit. It says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. So we think that, when Jesus was looking past the cross and looking at set to the right hand of the Father. That is true, but it's not totally the whole picture. What that scripture actually means, that fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy then setting before him. See, you have to understand, Jesus was in glory. Absolute perfection. Never had to have an earthly body that's prone to pain. He was God the Son. But he looked beyond the glory through the cross and then could see the blessing ahead. See, a lot of us live in a very comfortable place in life. Things are rolling, they're going good. Good job, good money, good marriage. But then, when Jesus calls us, sometimes we don't want to leave that place of comfort. So we need to look beyond our comfort that we have now, the security that we have now that is holding us back from getting out of the boat. We need to look beyond that, look through the burden and the challenge of the thing, the seed that he's put inside of us, and then we need to see the eternal reward. What it is that God has called us into, and that we get to our glory and we look for one simple thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Well done, good and faithful servant. See, that's what every Christian should have a desire. We should have something that's burning inside of us, that we want to please our master more than anything else on this planet. More than anything, I want to please my master. And we need to get to that place for 2020 vision to be able to get down the road to the place he's called us to do. And that comes by making Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. See, Moses kind of did the same thing. He was living in Pharaoh's house. I mean, I assume people were feeding him grapes, you know what I'm saying? He was just laying there. He just had a great job. He is the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So he was connected. But then when he felt the call inside of him, he chose to walk away. And the Bible says he chose the reproaches of Christ rather than the treasures of Egypt. See, we need to walk away sometimes from the treasures of this world, of this planet, like Moses did. Moses wasn't even born again, but he felt that call inside of him by the Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God that is speaking to your heart today. So we need to look past that prize and feel what we feel we need to give up to follow the Lord. Paul said he pressed on for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't let the devil make you feel ashamed to follow the Lord. Keep your eye on the prize and that upward call. And I guarantee, I never thought I'd be where I am today when I started out. I couldn't see the finish line. But along the way, there's some mile markers. And, you get little touch-ups and little, passing out water. You know what I'm saying? I've never ran a marathon. Don't plan to. But, along the way, you get those little touches. And I pray to God, you just stay connected to Jesus and you stay connected in fellowship here. You know, we'll encourage you. We'll help you to get where God's called you to do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.